Marcus Agrippa, The March to Actium, Part 2. Now, in the following year, Octavia brought from Italy several cohorts of cavalry to Greece to assist her husband. But at Athens, she was told to proceed no further and remain there. Octavia understood completely what was afoot, and despite the personal hurt it caused her, nevertheless, she wrote to Antony, asking which of the many things she had with her she should bring to him. Anticipating her husband's needs was to bring clothing for his soldiers, pack animals, money, and gifts for the officers and friends, in addition to 2,000 hand-picked, fully equipped men of the Praetorian cohorts. Antony's political and romantic interests, however, lay in Alexandria. A key financial backer of his wars was Queen Cleopatra of Egypt. He had met her for a time in 47 BCE when Julius Caesar backed her claim, and after the Alexandrian War, put the then 22-year-old woman on the throne of Egypt. Caesar famously seduced by her sensual charms and sharp intellect, and she bore him a son named Caesarion. In 41 BCE, Antony had summoned the queen to be with him at Tarsus, and when she arrived, writes Plutarch, she made a great present of no slight or insignificant addition to her dominions, namely Phoenicia, Colle Syria, Cyprus, and a large part of Cilicia, and further, the balsam-producing part of Judea. He joined her in Egypt later that year. The two eloped, and a romance blossomed between the couple, and soon there were children. Despite being married to Octavian's own sister, Octavia, Antony proceeded to marry Cleopatra in 36 BCE. His reason for doing so was to legitimize his children by the queen, the twins Alexander Helios and Cleopatra Selene. But it seemed to some observers that he was creating a new rival empire to Rome, encompassing Egypt, Asia, Greece, and the Near East. Unfazed by his military setback, Antony raised a new army. Failing to find willing Italian-born citizen recruits, he changed the enrollment rules, offering citizenship to any male willing to serve in his ranks, and succeeded in creating 5 new legions. Antony was elected consul with L. Scribonius Libo for 34 BCE, resigning it on the same day. He headed north and reinvaded Armenia as revenge to what he saw as Artavati's treachery. During the presence of marching to war against Parthia, he arrived in the Armenian capital, Artaxata, and deposed the king. The Armenians resisted and elected the king's son. Antony refused to accept the choice of the new regent, arrested him, and installed Artaxus as his half-brother under the control of Canidius Cassius and a large contingent of Roman troops. Elated by his success, Antony headed back to Alexandria, where he celebrated a triumphal parade. It was the first to be held outside of Rome, and was seen by many at home as both against the laws of the Romans and of Jove. Artavates and his family were among the trophies exhibited in the lavish spectacle, in which Antony dressed as Dionysius, wearing an ivy wreath upon his head, a gaudy saffron robe of gold, and clasping a thyrsus, the sacred wand of the god, while Cleopatra accompanied him as Isis. Controversially, a few days after the parade, Antony reassigned several of the Roman protectorates in the east to members of his new family in what became known as the Donations of Alexandria. It is reported that he used to say that the greatness of Roman Empire was made manifest not by what the Romans receive, but what they bestowed, and that noble families were extended by the successive begettings of many kings. The distributions of land were accompanied by an excessive spectacle of lavish sets and flamboyant costumes. The 13-year-old Caesarion, now bearing the majestic Egyptian name Ptolemaeus XIV, Philopater Philemontor Caesar, was recognized as co-regent of Egypt, Julius Caesar's legitimate son and heir. Cyprus, Colle Syria, and Libya were given to the pharaohs, while Armenia and Media, following its annexation, and Parthia, reaching as far as India, were created as new realms for Cleopatra's oldest son, the 6-year-old Alexander Helios. His twin sister, Cleopatra Selene, received Crete and Cerinthia. To the youngest son, the 2-year-old Ptolemaeus Philadelphus, was granted Sicilia, Phoenicia, and Syria. Antony was within his legal remit to make such settlements as these, but they were not because they were not fully fledged Roman provinces. Indeed, he sent official documents for the transfers to the Senate in Rome to ratify his decision. Well, the response was consternation. According to Plutarch, He was hated for the distribution which he made to his children in Alexandria. It was seen to be theatrical and arrogant, and evinced hatred from Rome. End of quote. His recognition of Caesarion as the King of Kings and as Julius Caesar's true heir by blood was seemingly calculated to antagonize one man in particular, his co-former triumvir and the man claiming to be the son of the divine Julius. The timing and presentation of the request were poor, and it played right in the Octavian's hands. He used the material to present Antony as a drunken, debauched playboy who was failing to live up to the high standards expected of a Roman proconsul. From his lodgings in Alexandria, Antony hit back at the accusation with his own charge, and Octavian had not given him his share of Sicily after he had taken it from Sextus Pompeius. Octavian had not returned the ships that he had been loaned. Octavian had kept Lepidus's army for himself, along with the territory and the cash it generated, and his allotments of lands the veterans had excluded Antony's troops. Imperator Octavian shot back with a barbed retort, quote, that he had deposed Lepidus from office because he was abusing it, and as for what he acquired in war, he would share it with Antony whenever Antony, on his part, should share Armenia with him. And Antony's soldiers had no claim upon Italy, since they had Media and Persia, which countries they had added to the Roman dominion by their noble struggles under their imperator. End of quote. So it's hard to see how these two gentlemen are ever going to be reconciled. In the spring of 33 BCE, while Octavian was campaigning in Illyricum and Agrippa was supervising miracles of hydraulic engineering in Rome, Antony returned to Roman-controlled Armenia. He had learned that King Artavades of Media, Aristopane, had quarreled with his Parthian neighbor. The rift provided Antony with an unexpected but timely opportunity for an alliance. Antony marched to the Aras River. A treaty was signed to the satisfaction of both sides, in which each would come to the support of the other in time of need. To bind the two men together, the king's daughter, Iopte, was betrothed to Antony's son, Alexander Helios. To Polemon I of Pontus, a client king, whose father Zeon had encouraged the local people to resist Labienus and King Pacorus I of Parthia when their armies invaded Syria and Anatolia, Antony gave orders to police the Roman frontier with Parthia. Antony's attention was turning westward. A war between the two strongmen of the Roman world, and one which would decide its fate, was now inevitable. With the eastern border at peace, although a fragile one, in November, Antony ordered his deputy, Canidius Crassus, to withdraw 16 legions from Armenia and march to the coast in preparation for the coming conflict with Octavian, which of course will be finished at the Battle of Actium. Now the sources for this, Lives of the Caesars by Suetonius, The Annals of Imperial Rome by Tacitus, The Lives by Plutarch, 12 Caesars by Grant, Cleopatra by Grant, Marcus Agrippa, the right-hand man of Caesar Augustus by Powell, and the Caesar's Wives Above Suspicion by Peron. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com. Ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.